Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah, I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Israel has gained a trove of intelligence from hundreds of Palestine terrorists that they captured in recent weeks, who now admit that the terror group is collapsing. In the last weeks, hundreds of terrorists have been captured, and what they say about what happened to them tells the whole story. Quote, they say that Hamas is collapsing from within. The prices they pay are heavy. The Israelis are seeing very great progress, both in the terrorists in the field and with regard to the more senior terrorist commanders, even the senior ones. The goal is to eliminate everyone who was involved in the events in October 7th. Yes, Israel does make mistakes, but they're properly fighting a war against people who hate all Jews. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Skip, you live in a rather remote part of Michigan, and I think you now have electricity, and I've heard you even get online service. Is that true?
You just love this, don't you, Colonel? I'm just some old hayseed, right?
Well, a young hayseed.
Well, you know, I love it. I love being in rural Michigan. Yeah, granted, I don't have great internet and electricity, you know, 4 hours a day, but it's, I love it. And I wouldn't trade living out here in the country for all of the 21st century amenities.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're getting more modern anyway. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the real threat of a bigger, maybe a world war. Then, Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Marine Vet Tim Taylor from Concerned Veterans for America will discuss the VA and some other veterans issues. Then Colonel Bill Prince, who heads the MacArthur Society of West Point grads, will discuss some of the challenges at West Point. And Gil and Skip will present The Border and a Book.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Please send your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First the news. Take us there, bro.
Well, Colonel, President Biden threatened to condition support for Israel's offensive in Gaza on it taking concrete steps to protect aid workers and civilians, seeking for the first time to leverage U.S. aid to influence Israeli military behavior. Biden's warning, relayed in a call with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, followed a deadly Israeli attack on World Central Kitchen aid workers that spurred new calls for Biden's fellow Democrats to place conditions on U.S. aid to Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said his country's forces had unintentionally hit innocent people in the Gaza Strip after an airstrike killed the 7 aid workers. The U.S.-based nonprofit group, founded by celebrity Chef Jose Andre, said it was immediately pausing its operations in the region, and Cyprus said that ships carrying aid were turning back after the incident, a major setback for efforts to get food into Gaza by sea for a population that has been pushed to the brink of starvation by the Israel-Hamas war. Quote, the Israeli government needs to stop this indiscriminate killing, Andre wrote on X.
Troops, this killing of aid workers is horrible, but horrible things happen in war, and this is war. We killed a lot of innocent civilians when we bombed Germany and Japan in World War II. And, as we've observed on this show before, John Spencer, who is the chair of urban warfare studies at the Modern War Institute at West Point, is our nation's leading expert on urban warfare, and he published a statement highlighting Israel's unprecedented action to prevent civilian casualties. He said, quote, in my long career studying and advising on urban warfare for the U.S. military, I've never known an army take such measures to attend to the enemy's civilian population, especially while simultaneously combating the enemy in the very same buildings. In fact, by my analysis, he said, Israel has implemented more precautions to prevent civilian harm than any military in history, above and beyond what international law requires, and more than the U.S. did in its wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, end quote. Folks, we need to fully support Israel and totally condemn the terrorists.
And Israel has withdrawn from the Shifa hospital complex in Gaza after a two-week operation to kill and capture terrorists who turned the facility into a command center. Israeli troops captured 900 terror suspects during the raid, including 500 who were confirmed members of terrorist organizations. Another 200 terrorists were killed, including top Hamas and Islamic Jihad commanders. The IDF also evacuated 350 patients and medical staff to a safe zone inside the complex, where the military provided them with humanitarian aid and supplies. Prime Minister Netanyahu hailed the successful operation. Quote, "The surprise action by our forces was precise and surgical. They eliminated over 100 terrorists, including senior commanders, and additional terrorists surrendered. No hospital anywhere in the world looks like this. This was a terrorist lair," unquote. He added that the important intelligence seized will be vital to locating the hostages and preparing for continued fighting.
Those terrorists have no ethics. Their only focus is killing Jews. They are pure evil.
And Israel reportedly killed 7 Iranian officers, including a senior commander of its elite military intelligence group, in an airstrike that destroyed Iran's consulate in Damascus, Syria. Israel didn't comment on the reports, but it has acknowledged bombing Iranian targets in Syria hundreds of times over the past few years. Syria's defense minister said the Israelis used missiles to get through their air defenses. Military analysts say Israel is deliberately increasing pressure on Iran and testing to see how the country and its Hezbollah allies will respond. Destroying Iran's consulate represents a significant escalation.
It does. Folks, this is a war, a real war. Terrorists fighting against Israel are violating every ethical rule in the world. They hide behind innocent civilians and set up headquarters in hospitals. I stand with Israel.
And a Texas National Guardsman was arrested for allegedly trying to smuggle illegal immigrants into the country. According to reports, Specialist Savion Johnson, 26, of the Texas National Guard was arrested near the southern border. Authorities said he was using his government-issued SUV to transport an illegal immigrant into the country. Johnson, who was deployed to the Eagle Pass crossing as part of Governor Abbott's Operation Lone Star State, was approaching a Border Patrol checkpoint off Highway 674 when he turned around and fled when agents tried to stop him. According to the New York Post, Johnson led law enforcement officers on a high-speed chase. Texas DPS officers deployed spike strips to stop the SUV. Authorities say the suspect was arrested following the chase, which reached speeds of over 100 miles per hour.
This is bad news, but I'm sure glad they caught the guy.
And Ukraine will receive new missiles and hundreds of armored vehicles as part of a fresh tranche of military aid announced by France, with the assistance announced as Kiev contends with ammunition shortages and preparations for a Russian summer offensive.
Way to go, France. Now Germany and other NATO nations need to do the same. Ukraine needs ammunition and drones.
And a recruit for the Florida State Guard was removed from a Jacksonville training facility and sent to a hospital for a mental health evaluation in February after he reportedly told others he wanted to kill Jews and Palestinians and blow up a military base. The recruit, a 23-year-old from Fleming Island, was 2 weeks into a month-long training camp to join the State Guard when 2 people training alongside him reported him for making threatening comments, according to a Jacksonville Sheriff's Office report. In one instance, a witness told deputies he overheard the recruit say he wanted to get a U-Haul and fill it with fertilizer and ammonium nitrate and blow up the base. Another witness told deputies he also said he wanted to kill Jews, Palestinians, and that they all need to be annihilated, the report states. He's not been named because law enforcement categorized the incident as a mental health case.
We've got to be able to raise the standard for the people we recruit. This guy does need help. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with a Marine vet, Tim Taylor. At ease, troops, take a break. Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Next time you upgrade to a new cell phone, don't throw your old one away. If your old phone can hold a charge, you can stage this phone for emergency use in a home defense situation. Every cell phone, whether on contract or not, has the ability to call 911. Keep an old phone in the glove box of your car as well as your safe room just in case. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess, with inflation going crazy and our prices going up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. While Russia's military is really getting beat up in its war with Ukraine, there's a real lesson we have to learn. This is the first war in Europe that involved a nuclear power. Our nation and NATO are very supportive of Ukraine, and this could lead to some form of a war between nuclear powers. We need to be sure we avoid that possible nuclear war. First, it should be clear that modern warfare between industrial developed nations is really costly in a lot of ways. Russia's lost about 120,000 troops killed in action in the 2 years of this war. Compare that to their 10 years that they were fighting in Afghanistan, that's before we got there, where they only lost 15,000 men. And so far in Ukraine, Russia's lost nearly 3,000 tanks, 5,000 other armored vehicles, 250 aircraft, 20 surface ships, and a submarine. But Ukraine, a much smaller nation, has lost 70,000 troops and 100,000 civilians and about half the equipment that Russia's lost. Nothing like this has happened since World War II. Compare this to our fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq for 20 years. We only lost 7,000 troops. To compare, we lost 58,000 troops in Vietnam, and in Korea, we lost 37,000. So the Ukraine war offers a glimpse of what a communist Chinese attack on Taiwan or a Russian attack on NATO or another war in Korea might look like. The difference is that one of these wars may very well involve us, and we'd be one of the target nations for our enemies. Now, we do have one thing that's worked well for decades, deterrence. I've often said that the only reason to have a military is to kill people and break things. And if we're really good at this, then the bad guys will stay away from us. That's called deterrence. Oh, and we need the leadership in our nation to stand up and be ready to use our theoretically well-trained and equipped military. Political leadership really matters. As the Russian troops moved towards Kyiv, Zelensky was offered a chance to evacuate. His defiant response, quote, "I need ammunition, not a ride," end quote, galvanized Ukraine and also rallied the free world. What our nation has done really well over the years is help those nations who want to help themselves. The Ukraine war is a great example. The anti-tank and anti-aircraft weapons we provided helped Ukraine stop Russia's initial attacks, just as our anti-missile systems helped them deal with Russia's rocket attacks. The artillery we provided, and especially the intelligence we still provide regularly, has helped Ukraine take back some of the territory Russia has seized. We've helped many nations that were being attacked and were willing to fight to protect themselves. For example, Britain in World War II, Israel in 1973, and today. We helped the Mujahideen against Russia in the 1980s, and the Balkans in the 1990s, and the Iraqi Kurdistans in the 2010s. The key is leadership. The alpha, the good example in this, is Ukraine today. The omega is Afghanistan's leadership, especially in 2021 when we stupidly abandoned them. This need will continue, especially in Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and South Korea. NATO has been a challenge. From the beginning, right after World War II, when the USSR was acting like they wanted to grow, we've been the major defender of Western Europe. The deal of being a NATO member is that your nation must commit to 4% of your gross national product to building your military to defend yourself. Few nations have done so. Indeed, the biggest and most wealthy nation in Western Europe, Germany, has never done so, at least not since the end of the Cold War, when the USSR dissolved. But then President Trump put some serious pressure on the nations to meet their commitment to defend themselves, and many did move in the right direction. Indeed, now if Russia can beat Ukraine down, it is the European nations of NATO that are at real risk, and they should be a major provider of military and other support to Ukraine, not us. We need to reinstate that pressure. I think it's clear that unmanned systems are integral to today's warfare. If you didn't know, Ukraine purchased or produced 200,000 drones last year, some as big as bombers, some as small as a mailbox, some made from plastic or cardboard. Indeed, Ukraine has made history with torpedo-like unmanned underwater vehicles and uncrewed sea vehicles. Indeed, our military is taking notes. Our Pentagon has an office devoted to countering uncrewed systems, and we're testing stuff that can take these things out. And we can be sure that Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea are doing the same. It's safe to say that history will show that Ukraine has transformed modern warfare. It's important to remember that major wars, like the one in Ukraine, is never limited to the war zone. This war has caused energy price spikes, refugee flows, and food scarcity around the world. Our nation does not have the needed leadership at any level to deal with a real war. Our national leadership is weak and confusing. Our military is literally focused on race and gender rather than merit and being combat ready. We have real trouble recruiting, and we have an unknown number of terrorists in our country as a result of our open borders. The world is very, very dangerous right now, and we need our nation to get ready for war. That way, we may not have to fight one. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
The war in Ukraine has produced some interesting weapons and tactics. The latest is a converted light sport airplane, which is designed to carry two people in their luggage, and instead is loaded up with hundreds of pounds of high explosives and set up to be remotely operated as a drone. Ukraine launched a mass drone attack with these converted small planes, which only have 100 horsepower and fly slower than 100 miles per hour. However, they have a range of 600 miles, which is about three times that of other attack drones. Ukraine attacked three air bases hundreds of miles inside of Russia and destroyed six Russian aircraft and damaged eight others. Another attack supposedly hit a dormitory of a drone factory, which is making Iranian attack drones. You know, the areas where they hit the Russians don't have much in the way of air defenses, so the slower aircraft have a very high survivability rate. But the real main advantage is cost. The assembled cost of the aircraft is about $90,000. Which is far less than the cost of a long-range missile that are typically used for deep strikes like this. The civilian light support version of these aircraft are known as Aeropract A-22s, and they are an all-metal, high-wing, small airplane. You know, Ukraine's creativity of turning a light support airplane into a smart bomb to hit targets way inside of Russia within range of Moscow, it's pretty impressive. Ukraine is changing the way wars are fought by using smart ideas and quick moves to respond to Russia's aggression. This situation shows how the fight between Ukraine and Russia is changing and gives a hint at what wars in the future might even look like. In these future battles, being smart, using the latest tech, and thinking outside the box will make a huge difference. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I always appreciate your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Marine vet Tim Taylor from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll talk about West Point with Colonel Bill Prince. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
The U.S. is more than $32 trillion in debt, a number that is going up by the second. Meanwhile, our country faces expanding global threats while our military readiness is consumed with unnecessary engagements elsewhere.
If we want to be safe in the future, we need to get our debt and spending under control. Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show Tim Taylor. Tim is a vet of both our Marine Corps and the Air National Guard. He's an engagement director for Concerned Veterans for America in Arizona. You all know that I totally support CVA because they do lots for our veterans and for our nation. So welcome, Tim. Glad you could join us.
Thank you, Denny. I'm really glad I can be here today.
Tim, start by telling us about your time in uniform. When and why did you join the Marines? And what did you do and where did you serve as a Marine?
So when I was in elementary school, a recruiter came in his dress blue uniform. And I remember then thinking, man, I really want to wear that. And that kind of started it all. And so that's all I really wanted to do was be a Marine. And so straight out of high school, 17 years old, shot over to San Diego, to Hollywood. Graduated boot camp, became a Marine, served in the Marine Corps for 15 years. I got to travel all over the place. I went to Afghanistan. I did a lot of different things. I was on active duty and reserves. When my time in the Marine Corps was up, I transferred over to the Air National Guard. And for all the veterans listening, everything you've heard about the Air Force is true, and it's terrific, and I love it.
Does that mean that they avoid personal contact and combat, because that's how I harass my in-laws who are all Air Force people.
not necessarily. We do have, I'm sure we do have people that are on the front lines. Mostly, I wouldn't necessarily say boots on the ground, but we do have that capacity too.
Yeah, they do. But again, I don't like admitting it to my nieces and or nephews and brother-in-law.
That's right.
You know, you got certain standards you got to maintain.
That's right.
Okay. What did you do in the Air Guard?
So in the Air Force, right now, I do fuel. So POL.
Okay. Oh, you're still in it?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. In that case, I really got to take cheap shots. Okay. Anyway, what got you involved in this Concerned Veterans for America? How did you hear about them? What got you involved?
Several years ago, when I started to get more involved with the community, I met the gentleman who was running our state at the time and became a volunteer. And probably a couple years after that, they opened up a position here, and I applied for it, and I got the job. The reason I did that was just because from what I knew about CVA at the time, I thought it was a really good organization that had a really, really good vision and a really good purpose that I could really get behind, and I wanted to be a part of. So, long story short,
okay,
that's kind of how I came here, yeah.
Well, I understand that, because when I first heard of CVA, I didn't know what it was, but the more I plugged in, the more I learned, the more I wanted to be involved. And it's just a great organization. Indeed, that's what we're going to talk about mostly today.
And the longer that I've been here, and if I can real quick, the more time that I spent with CVA, the more that I've also learned, which kind of drives me a little bit more to just work a little bit harder each day. So it's an ongoing process.
Yeah, they really do care about our veterans, active and reserve and prior service.
Absolutely.
And they do, they work practically to make things better, to deal with issues. And I don't need to tell you, you're involved with them.
Yeah, that's a great point. We're a solutions-based, results-based organization. We bring solutions to the table instead of just, highlighting an issue, which can be important. We always back it up with a solution. And that's one of the things that I really love about the organization.
Yeah. And nobody's perfect. And it's not like nothing ever goes wrong or everything comes out perfectly. But the intent and the focus is right where I would love it to be. And that's where it is. So I guess it's clear that you and I both sort of like CVA. Okay. This is Colonel Denny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Tim Taylor from Concerned Veterans for America. Tim, about 10 years ago, the Phoenix VA had a huge scandal. I covered it on the show at the time. I probably had 30 or 40 interviews over most of a year. I know that that's something that you have to know about, and I know that we haven't had that happen again. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So 10 years ago, it came to light, through whistleblowers and VA employees and such, and from veterans' experience with this, that the VA had essentially two wait lists. One was public, which had, decent, pretty okay wait times. The other was private, outside of the system, that reflected their actual real wait times, where veterans were waiting for months or, over a year to get the care that they actually needed. So they had been manipulating these wait times for some time. And over the course of, a little bit of time and investigating, it was shown that several VA locations around the country did this. So it wasn't necessarily an isolated incident. And from that investigation, they were also defined, they also found that, about 40, at least 40 veterans died while waiting for the care that they needed. And so in a nutshell, that was kind of the VA scandal. And, that's when our organization really perked up and we're like, something needs to change and it needs to change now.
Yes, because as I recollect, the leaders, I don't know if they were where they were geographically, but leaders got bonuses if they had low wait times. So that was why there were two different lists, the official one, which got them bonuses, and the actual one, which was horrible.
Correct. Yeah, they're absolutely.
So all I know is that the people that I know that were involved with it, the victims are still around and like the VA now, and the other ones are gone. That's the only thing I know off the top of my head. But in my opinion, it had to do with the leadership. And what else could it be?
It was definitely the leadership. It was an institutional practice to manipulate these wait times and to just simply make themselves look good to the public while, preserving their best self-interest and not really caring for the care that they give to veterans and what they're really supposed to be doing.
And as near as I can tell, and again, nothing's perfect. Even today, I know of some people say their VAs are not as responsive as they should be, but mine is really good. It's mostly fixed. At least the guidance from above is appropriate and the follow-up's appropriate. Am I guessing right here?
Yeah, you're spot on, Denny. There have been a lot of changes over the last 10 years. And I know I don't want to demonize, VA employees. I know VA employees that work there still. Some former VA employees work with our organization, CVA, and they're great people. No doubt about it. I know veterans who swear by the VA, but I also know veterans who have terminal cancer, who the VA still to this day, I just learned this last week, as a matter of fact, they're still to this day trying to push off his care for another 3 to 6 months, and trying to deny him community care. So the issues still persist. It's not completely gone. It's not completely fixed. I don't know if it ever will be, but, that's the goal that we're reaching towards. So while there have definitely been some positive improvements made over the last 10 years, there's still work to be done.
Well, what bureaucracy doesn't have continued problems of that
Absolutely.
Nature? The question mm-hmm. is whether that's the rule or that's the exception. I mean, even in private practice, there are medical people that I don't ever want to see again, so that's something that is a good sign that
Yeah.
Somebody took this thing seriously and has turned things around in a way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm certain that CVA played a role in that. And all we can do is keep monitoring. And, you know, good people make mistakes. Good people do dumb things on occasion. And the VA is doing its job. And yeah, there's room for improvement, but I wouldn't admit this in public, but there's even room for improvement in me. So therefore, I guess it can be other places. Don't ask my wife. Well, there's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, particularly the VA, and Tim is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's time for push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, often each week. Then take a break or stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll continue our conversation with Marine vet Tim Taylor from Concerned Veterans for America. Tim, I do want to talk about some of the things the CVA is working on. One thing that's going on in Israel right now is we've got 1,100, I think that's the right number, of our troops building a dock so that aid can come in for the Gazans. Why are we doing that? I mean, last I checked, hundreds of aid and food trucks are coming out of Israel into Gaza, and only about 70% of them are getting to the Gazans. We don't know where the other 30% are going to. What's this new dock about? Why do we have our combat people in a combat zone we're not fighting in? Do you have any thoughts on that?
So that's kind of a tricky question for sure. But kind of from our lens at CVA, you know, one of our policy priorities is to keep our troops out of harm's way unnecessarily. And this kind of ties into that. If we're putting 1,100 troops over there to build a dock and then to, you know, maintain and run a dock in a combat zone, it's we're putting them into harm's way intentionally, which just increases the possibility of them to get hurt, and which could potentially, you know, escalate the conflict, which is the absolute last thing that, you know, we at CVA want and what I feel like the American people want. We just, you know, sort of ended 20 years of war. I don't think we're ready to go back to war again in the Middle East. And, you know, that's kind of a worst case scenario, but that's, you know, in our opinion at CVA, you know, we just don't want our troops in harm's way unnecessarily when there are other options available.
Well, you just said what I hoped you'd say, because we don't need to have them there. We just don't. And I'm glad that's CVA's position. Okay. That's good. Let's talk about a few of the other issues. There's so many issues out there right now. we had a problem where, I guess a week or so ago, the VA is putting the health and safety of veterans at risk by failing to properly track implanted orthopedic devices, including artificial hips and shoulders. I understand you guys are working on that. Can you talk about that?
So that to me seems like more of a just a systemic issue at the VA. Well, you know, not necessarily just, you know, tracking these things, but it ties into other smaller little things that the VA just doesn't do well. Just a couple months ago, that kind of ties into this. A couple months ago, the VA didn't pay for postage for colorectal cancer screening samples. And over 400 of these cancer screenings expired and just kind of sat in boxes in a warehouse because the VA had so much turnover that there's so much personnel change that they lost track of it. And, you know, that's a systemic issue. It's a problem. And these veterans that were waiting on those, and one of them I know personally who was waiting on these screenings, you know, they need those answers. That could very potentially be life or death in the same situation for, it could happen here. If you're not tracking these, it can result in further issues or, you know, any number of other things.
Okay, that makes sense. What are some of the issues involving the VA that are hot to you personally, that really ring your bell, that we need to be working on?
So I think one of the most important ones to me is community care. So community care, for anyone who's unaware, the VA Mission Act of 2018, which CBA was really vital in getting that passed, the Mission Act expanded community care choice for veterans across the country, essentially allowing them to use doctors out in the town, right? So, but the VA has kind of stalled that. I mean, not kind of, they have 100%. If anyone's interested, there's a video on our website where I think it's the undersecretary is telling everybody to not hit the community care easy button. And what that does is it just makes appointment times longer, wait times longer, and reduces the quality of care that a lot of these veterans need. And so for me, this is probably the number one issue, especially when you consider that the PACT Act is in place and more veterans are eligible for care now through the VA. And the VA is already struggling to handle what they have. Now with the influx of the PACT Act veterans, it's only going to get worse over time. But if we could expand community care, if we would essentially pass the Veterans Healthcare Freedom Act, which will do a lot for community care and do a lot for veterans, that'll expand community care for veterans. They'll be able to go see their doctors out in town. It'll reduce wait times. It'll reduce the workload for the VA employees who are overworked, quite frankly. So for me, that's the biggest issue, and it's probably the most important fix moving forward that we can have.
You know, that makes sense. And I can see that at my VA. The people are good and they are overworked, and it does take time. And this seems not to have anything to do with who's president or who's in control of Congress. This seems to be the same kind of thing nonstop, doesn't it?
It does kind of seem that way. It's a federal agency. It's a bureaucracy like anything else. And so making changes is a slow grind. There's no doubt about it. And so it has spanned presidencies and it'll continue to do so. I just hope it'll be, you know, done quicker if we can.
Yes. And that's got to be the goal. And since this is an election year, this is something we can all talk to those congressmen and senators who want our votes and ask them to see what they can do about this. But it is a problem, because when you have government employees, they're protected. You can't just fire them. It's an issue, but here we are. Okay, this is Colonel Denny Gill on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Tim Taylor from Concerned Veterans for America. Concerned Veterans for America helps all patriotic Americans get active and to help our nation get back on track. That's one of the reasons I'm plugged into you guys. If there's a citizen, whether or not as a veteran, who wants to get active in turning our country around, in encouraging Congress and Senate and those people to do things, you guys help them do that, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We are always looking. We're always looking for people from Patriots, veterans, family members to come help. You know, every little bit counts. There's always something to do. There's always some place to be. And every little bit counts.
So therefore, all of our listeners, you can plug into CVA and begin to, because I know a lot of citizens who are frustrated, but they don't know what to do. Well, you can call CVAfrontlines.com. You can plug in and they'll give you advice on letters you can write, phone calls you can make, that sort of thing. Am I right, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a number of petitions, petitions online where if you go to our website, cv4a.org, you can sign a petition that will take you that'll go directly to your member of Congress and tell them to support, you know, whatever the petition is for, like the Veterans Healthcare Freedom Act is just one example, but there are a number of other petitions on there. And if you happen to be in a state where CVA does not necessarily have a person, we can work something out where we can help you get more involved.
This is a year. This is our country. This is a year that we can impact it. We have to impact it. And CVA is a way to do that. So at the risk of repeating myself, let's get active in CVA, everybody. And I'll bet, Tim, that CVA is a nonprofit and wouldn't mind donations, but that's not their big focus. They're not always asking for money, but they can use it, can't they?
Absolutely. It's so much not our focus, Denny, that I really don't even have information on that. If anybody is interested in donating, I can figure it out, though. Absolutely.
Then go to the website. That'll work.
Yep.
Tim, thank you. Thank you for your excellent comments. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. You're still in uniform, but now on your civilian job. I'm glad that we know each other, and I'm glad that we're working together.
Absolutely, Denny. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We start the second hour talking with Army Colonel Bill Prince from the MacArthur Society of West Point grads. They're West Point grads who are worried about their alma mater. Then Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones and maybe about 20 push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.